Good Monday afternoon to you. Welcome into the Sports Line here across ESPN Radio in Virginia. Ed Lane, a week alone. Yes, I am back. No, Rich is not here. He is gone all week up to Minnesota, and one can only wonder if he will just stay up there and steer clear of us for as long as possible. Maybe even put some flight delays into his plans. Maybe find a way to get lost in the lakes up there. That's happened before. Who knows what's up his sleeve, but we're pressing on this week. And lucky for us, we picked a pretty fun week to talk lots of sports with you. We've got the ACC water cooler sessions, which is basically known as officially known as ACC kickoff. They take place Wednesday and Thursday. Already happening now are SEC media days. Jimbo Fisher of Florida State, or of Texas A&M, formerly of Florida State, already making his presence felt. And the interesting thing about so much of this week that piques my interest. First of all, it's football. It's getting closer, but yet we are still about 2 weeks away from meaningful action in the NFL, 6 weeks or so away from Labor Day, which is when college football gets underway, and about 2 to 3 weeks away from when teams actually do more than hit each other in the NFL in those training camps and play in preseason games. But it's so funny because while we're so far off from meaningful football, it's such an opportunity to grasp at straws. And for the record, I am not the typical millennial here on the Sports Line. So often, and it cracks me up when I hear this, it's often the millennials or it's the folks that love the streetball attitude of basketball, but they seem to be the two cliques that for the most part have been touting so long that, the sky is falling on football. Oh, look at the NBA. It's taking over everything. Don't get me wrong, the NBA has had fantastic ratings, and people talk about it being a 12-month-a-year league. But the ironic thing is, it's really about a month-and-a-half-year league, because that's when the build-up to the offseason takes place, and then you get through the draft and the initial wave of free agency. Now all that's left is, where's Kawhi Leonard going to go? And then we really don't have much excitement until next offseason in the NBA, when maybe the Warriors get dismantled after winning another championship. This time it's going to be over Boston, because Cleveland's no longer a challenger. And we have months and months to look to all the supposedly intriguing storylines, even though it's pretty predictable exactly how everything's going to go. And the ironic thing is, a lot of folks that love to criticize college football for its top-heavy league at least omit the fact that in college football, you have maybe not all teams have a chance to win, but at least you got maybe, 7 to 8 that theoretically have what it takes to win? Because let's be honest, in college football, and as we start things off right now, it's appropriate SEC Media Days kicks off. It's also quite fitting that they have 4 days, because they have produced not only a champion in the majority of the last 10 years, Florida's got a couple, LSU had one, granted it was Les Miles winning with Nick Saban's players, Alabama, we know of their recent success, and capping that off is the fact that now twice the championship game in college football has featured two teams from the SEC. And say what you will about LSU and Alabama getting a rematch a couple of years ago and criticizing that, this year it was the playoff. And this year, Georgia not only got in, but deserved to get in. And they lost to an Alabama team that could have debated whether it should have been Alabama or Ohio State. But most everyone knew that once Alabama got in, they have what it takes to win the championship. And even with questions at quarterback and pulling Jalen Hurts at halftime, we all knew that Alabama was in the spot where they were going to be able to contend for a championship. And they are the gold standard when it comes to college football. And there are a couple of key elements to that, and why, while not every team has a chance to catch Alabama, there's at least a collection of teams that can be mentioned in that conversation. And I think you've probably got 5 to 6 teams that have the key ingredients to be able to stop Alabama. That includes quality quarterback play or the potential for that. Depth on the offensive and defensive lines, because let's be honest, Alabama won a bunch of games last year with mediocre quarterback play from Jalen Hurts. Sorry to my buddy Drew, who got into it with me in the golf course right before his wedding. But Alabama's quarterback play wasn't very good with Jalen Hurts. And it did look markedly better with Tua Tagovailoa at their signal caller. And it's the same thing with Clemson. The one challenge they had, Clemson really did not have good quarterback play last year. They were just far superior to everyone they faced up front, that it masked those weaknesses throughout much of the season. That's where Clemson was. And they didn't encounter neither of them until the championship game, when Georgia has a very talented freshman in Jake Fromm. But neither one of those teams encountered elite quarterback play plus elite talent in the trenches. And that's what you have, to have a hope and a prayer of contending for a college football championship. Now, there are teams that have those ingredients. Clemson, everyone seems to believe it's only a matter of time before Trevor Lawrence unseats Kelly Bryant. Count me in that box. I know we've only seen spring practices and the spring football game, and he hasn't gone against anyone else, but manage the game, run with his legs, but not really beat you with his arm quarterback play is out the window. That worked well for a while because of that. But what we've seen out of that style of quarterbacking is you need to have more. You need to at least be able to be competent at quarterback. More on that locally in a moment with Josh Jackson at Virginia Tech. There's been debate as to whether he fits that skill set or not. But when you look at championship level teams in college football, you have to have great play and depth in the trenches, and you need to have great quarterback play on top of that to have a chance, or at least there to be the potential for that to happen. Now, it can come in different forms. It can come in a five-star recruit form, which is what Georgia has, to go with their great play up front. They're a contender. To go with what Clemson has, they return, well, probably an eighth of the first round in the 2019 NFL draft on their defensive line and a very good offensive line, and have recruited at an elite level for the last 5 to 6 years with Dabo Swinney in charge of that program, and a very good level before that when he was building his foundation. You've got Clemson, obviously they had a five-star quarterback. Ohio State has had an elite quarterback. They've got arguably the top pick in the upcoming NFL draft in Nick Bosa, brother of Joey, and a couple of other defensive linemen who are poised to break through, including one defensive tackle, Jones is the kid's name, who would have seen more time last year if he wasn't blocked by other future NFL players. So those are teams right there, Clemson, Georgia, Ohio State, that all have the requisite ingredients to challenge Alabama and to compete for a national championship. And I think there are some outliers into this bunch as well that have enough of those adequate components. Put Auburn in that box, Jared Stidham at quarterback. They've always had above average play in the trenches and enough depth there. Heck, they beat Alabama last year in the Iron Bowl. I think you could put them into that category. Certainly, you can look at some of the other teams in college football. If Washington's able to knock them off, they might be in that consideration. I still view them as a tick below that, but they could meet that area. Southern Cal has all the talent out there, but they're likely to be starting a true freshman at quarterback, and I'm not sold on Clay Helton, who's their head coach. But there are enough pieces there where you can at least fathom them as a contender. If Michigan can figure out the quarterback spot with Shea Patterson, the transfer from Ole Miss, and goes along with a defensive line that's got another top 10 pick in Rashawn Gary and a very good set of other pieces around him, there could be enough good ingredients there for Michigan to make a run at this. Now, they're a real projection, I think, along with Southern Cal, because neither one of them has proven it with their current head coach. But right there, you've got six teams that could challenge Alabama, seven total that are capable of winning a national championship this year. And you might be able to throw some other teams in there that if you think things break their way, it could happen. The one that's obviously been left out of this bunch as far as just flat-out contenders, and I know it's easy to do that, but it's Oklahoma. They're starting Kyler Murray at quarterback. They've got another top recruit that's there, and they'll have another coming in. At least that's what the belief is, assuming this kid sticks with his commitment, and you never really know that. but they'll have that again. And Lincoln Riley's a guy that everyone in the NFL has jumped on his bandwagon. They have tons of talent at the skill positions, and they've been very good up front. They showed that against Georgia with what they did defensively at the start of that game before it unraveled, and offensively throughout the entire contest. So there are ingredients there as well for Oklahoma to be a championship caliber team. Now, after that, there's some other teams that you can look at and kind of put into that maybe category. And I think you can easily say that in that maybe category in college football, there are a number of teams that if things all broke their way, they have a lot of good ingredients, but for whatever reason, you're not totally sold on them. Washington and USC, we covered that just a moment ago. I'll put Miami into that. They haven't had great quarterback play. Their defensive line is still not that deep, and they got pushed around by Wisconsin in the Orange Bowl last year and Clemson in the ACC title game. They were exposed up front in both of those areas. I like Miami, but I'm going to keep it real. They're just not there yet, and I haven't seen enough from them in terms of recruitment and development. They're still a couple of years off. Virginia Tech, which we'll get to, obviously, more as this week unfolds with the ACC kickoff. I'm not down on Josh Jackson like everyone else is, but I do have my doubts about whether he's going to be able to elevate a defense that's just been ravaged. The entire secondary now is basically gone, as we saw with Stroman and Edmonds getting drafted. Then Adonis Alexander doesn't qualify, and he ends up into the supplemental draft. Mook Reynolds is out. They're gutting that unit. They've lost Matua Pawaka. They've lost Tremaine Edmonds at the linebacking corp. They've lost depth on the defensive line. Ricky Walker's back, and he's their representative at ACC kickoff and a guy they're going to count on as a leader. But there's so many pieces to replace. And while we've seen Bud Foster, and look, the guy's one of the best defensive coordinators of all time and one of the best assistant coaches, let's not kid ourselves. At some point, you do need talent. And their early season schedule doesn't do them any favors when you lack that much talent. Yes, Florida State's breaking in a new coach, but they've got arguably a Heisman candidate in Cam Akers at running back. DeAndre Francois healthy at quarterback. There's something to work with there. They trot out a number of high recruits on both sides of the ball, and that's going to be a challenge. Now, maybe getting a team learning a new offense bodes well for Virginia Tech, but Virginia Tech, I don't view them as a championship-caliber team. Heck, I don't even put Florida State into that boat just yet this year, given their quarterback uncertainty and given that they're breaking in a new head coach and that things went terribly south on them last year as injuries and the coaching status of Jimbo Fisher really came to light over the second half of the season. It completely unraveled for Florida State. And if it wasn't for rescheduling a bowl game against some directional school or a late-season game that got postponed because of inclement weather at the beginning of the year, some late-season game against the directional school, they're not even in a bowl game. So while Florida State has the talent and the ingredients to make a turnaround, there are enough question marks that I'm not ready to put them in that top category of college football playoff contenders. So when you look at the ACC, there are a number of teams that fit that merit. We mentioned Virginia Tech. We mentioned Miami. We mentioned Florida State. Louisville, I mean, Lamar Jackson propped that team up last year. What he was able to do in a situation where the defense was unreliable and the offense wasn't all that good other than Lamar Jackson, you know what? I'm not so sure that if things go south, does Bobby Petrino either hit the road or do we start to see that really Bobby Petrino's second going at Louisville was a product of everybody else around him benefiting from one elite college quarterback in Lamar Jackson. And I'm concerned and curious as to whether that's actually going to happen. So those are things that we keep our eyes on, that we follow as we head into ACC play. But there are a number of teams right now that are in that second tier or even further down in terms of fringes. In the ACC, there's one real championship contender, that's Clemson. After that, you've got other teams that if the ingredients broke right and in the pieces all happen to be in the right spot, they might be able to contend for an ACC championship game berth and might be able to nudge their way into playoff consideration, but they're going to need everything to go right. And when you look at college football, just the sheer volume of depth that it takes to get through an entire season, much less in the NFL where the talent is a little more evenly spread and elite quarterback play can mitigate that. But when you look at football, over the course of the season, college football doesn't offer many margins for error. We've got one loss, really, that you're allowed other than that, you're out of the playoff picture. So if you lose two, you're kind of done, or you are done based on recent history. And there have been arguments that a couple of two-loss teams, Stanford a couple of years ago, Ohio State last year, could have made it, but they haven't really gotten to that point, and nothing's been proven by who's actually gotten into the playoffs that or into the playoff that two losses should put you in. So when you look at college football right now, you've got that elite group of teams that we rattled off earlier: Oklahoma, Clemson, Alabama, obviously, Georgia, Ohio State in that category. Auburn as well, I'll put them there. After that, you've got that next tier of teams that, if things go their proper way, maybe they break in. Washington, Southern Cal, people have mentioned Oklahoma State before. I'll put the other three ACC schools in there: Miami, Virginia Tech, Florida State. Out of the Big 12, I'll actually throw in West Virginia. They have too many questions on defense for me to be content with them. And there are a lot of issues as well with play calling. But they've got Will Grier at quarterback returning, who, dating back to his days in Gainesville at Florida, has been fantastic. And they have playmakers around him. Now, the schedule in the Big 12, I think, is a very tough conference, as little defenses they play. And it may well turn into a dog-eat-dog type of conference. And then there's Oklahoma State, who I think good for 10 to 11 wins every year, but they're good for a couple of losses in there because their defense has never quite lived up to par and they can't get over the Oklahoma hump. So they're in that category as well of teams that are on the outside looking in, and if things broke right, the necessary ingredients might gel together and they might find their way into the playoff. Other than that, there are a lot of concerns. By the way, one other team I'm going to throw in there as well that never gets consideration, but often has had a lot of those ingredients: impeccable coaching, certainly, and puts a lot of guys in the pros, but maybe not elite five-star athletes, and that's Stanford. But that's your kind of collection of college football teams. I put Stanford in that tier with a Virginia Tech, with a Miami, with a Florida State, of having a lot of good ingredients, but not necessarily sold that they're going to put it all together to get a championship. So that's your look at college football as media day start. It's kind of an overview. ACC kickoff begins later this week on Wednesday. Virginia Tech taking a very interesting approach to it. And we'll get into this more later this week, but Josh Jackson, coming off of the offseason in which there were questions about his eligibility, he's the offensive representative for the Hokies. Ricky Walker, the defensive representative for Tech as well, and Virginia Tech, of course, releasing today and reiterating that both of those are up for preseason award watch lists. Look, plenty of guys get on those things, so it's not as though I'm going to sit here and say that I expect Josh Jackson to be the top quarterback in college football or the top offensive player. I don't. I think he can make considerable improvements, but they're guys that are more developed and that are much better than that in terms of what their upside is immediately. And frankly, Ricky Walker, you know, if I were voting, I wouldn't vote him first team all ACC in my preseason poll, because the entire Clemson defensive line would be there for me. They're all going to be first round picks unless they have serious injuries or underperformance or things get uncovered about their past. And NFL teams are pretty good in that regard. But all indications are that's your first team all ACC defensive line, and that's the Clemson Tigers unit. That's who I'd vote. That's who David Teal said, and I heard his podcast the other day, and we'll chat with him Wednesday from ACC kickoff, but that's who he said he'd vote for it as well. So, but from Virginia Tech's angle, it's interesting to watch them because they're getting out in front of the news of what's happened with Josh Jackson and what they expect out of him. And good for them. I'm sure they will coach him up, but they had a lot of media obligations for him last year. He was there after every game, pre-games as well during the week. They made him available frequently. And as much as we've criticized the Hokies in other sports, basketball especially, for limited access and availability, and you know, as much as we can point out that it's hard to get a lot out of Justin Fuente, this is the right move, I believe, is to try to get your guys into the spotlight and then coach them up on how to handle it, especially at the quarterback position, because if you want to sell guys on making it to the next level, and I don't believe Josh Jackson has that kind of upside and talent. Who knows? Maybe I'm proven wrong. It's not the first time that Justin Fuente would have put somebody in an NFL position, because he did it with Paxton Lynch at Memphis and Andy Dalton when he was the offensive coordinator at TCU. And I think if Gerard Evans had humbled himself enough to stick around for another year in Blacksburg, he would have done better than the practice squads that he's bounced around to in the league so far. But for Virginia Tech, if you're going to sell quarterbacks on the NFL dream, as key of a component as anything is, how do you handle yourself in the spotlight? How do you handle yourself with the pressure of all the media obligations, pregame, postgame, answering when there might be controversy surrounding you or negative storylines that are out there? And while it is interesting, because Virginia Tech has been very guarded in how they allot media availability and accessibility, at least in this case, I think you're making the right call. Because if nothing else, you learn that Josh Jackson still has a long way to go and has a difficult time. And he's going to be peppered with question after question after question. And in a lot of these ACC kickoff media settings, it's a roundtable format and reporters come and go. So the player's sitting there for a 20 to 30 minute window. And over that time period, it's sometimes different people who may not have heard the questions beforehand, but they pop back in and they're going to ask you the same question that you've answered two or three times about your offseason and your eligibility and the questions that have surrounded that. And I'll bet Josh Jackson's getting coached up on that and already has been. I'm sure they're going to rehearse the answers a little bit more. I'm sure there'll be a lot of similar variations of the same answer. I doubt we're going to get the New York City approach that you would find there or in Philly or in Boston, where it's incessant media members asking the same question 15 different times expecting a different answer. But that's probably what you'll find, and we're going to learn a lot more about how Josh Jackson handles that. And then the other intriguing storyline is Bronco Mendenhall at UVA, because this is the first time we'll hear him speak to the media in a similar setting. And look, he's blunt. He's also familiar with the media, so it's not like this is his first go-round. But how does he handle himself after the Board of Visitors meeting in which all those tough questions were asked and posed and thrown out there? So it's interesting. I'm curious to hear exactly what comes out, and we'll get more info on that later on in the week. And we'll touch on that in a little bit when we get to covering the Commonwealth, which comes your way next here on the Sportsline, right here across ESPN Radio in Virginia.